You are listening to National Security Law Today.
Welcome to National Security Law Today, the podcast of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security. I'm Elisa Poteet, always here in my individual capacity. Guess what time it is again? That's right. It is time for the annual review of national security law, which is right around the corner. And to talk about it with me today, we have the Standing Committee's chair, Mr. Stephen Preston, who is here sort of presiding over the 35th review, which, by the way, is going to be on November 13th and 14th. Some of you may know that Mr. Preston happens to be a partner in the law firm of WilmerHale in Washington, and he heads the firm's Defense, National Security, and Government Contracts Group. And some of you may know that he has done a lot of the jobs that many of you out there in the world would like to have, because he's been DOD general counsel. And before that, he was CIA general counsel, because he just loves trouble. But anyway, welcome. I'm glad that you could come in and talk to me about this.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm pleased to be here.
So let's talk about it, because this is kind of a shift for the Standing Committee, and it's in a very positive way. So what can we expect this year?
As you know, the Standing Committee is the organized bar's leading forum for addressing issues at the intersection of law and national security. And this conference is our big annual event, with hundreds of national security professionals from government, industry, private practice, and academia. This year, we're focusing on technology. Our theme is technology, national security, and the law, keeping pace with innovation. And I'm very excited about the program we've put together. We have lined up a truly superb set of featured speakers. And with our law school partners, we have 8 panels planned on cutting-edge topics, exploring the challenges and legal issues posed by accelerating development of advanced technologies.
Okay, well, on the podcast, as you know, we love advanced technologies, and we are in the middle of what started out as a 6-part series on AI, only to find out that it merited a 16-part series. But let's talk about the focus on technology this year. What should we expect?
We're focusing on technology this year because the emergence and now fielding of disruptive technologies seems to be driving everything. Last year, you know, our focus was on national security law in the era of great power competition. And technological innovation is at the center of that competition. Today, we're in a virtual arms race over critical technologies with China, not just as an economic competitor, but as a potential military adversary. And this is spawning a host of interesting and difficult new issues. How does the law of armed conflict apply to autonomously operating weapons systems? How is economic regulation being wielded as an instrument of national power? What is the role of private investment and non-traditional contractors in the development of national security technologies? And then there are the ethical issues. We'll be tackling all of this at the conference.
All right, well, let's talk about who the speakers are so people know who they'd be coming to see.
Well, we have 3 spectacular speakers lined up as our keynoters. As the lunchtime keynote on November 13th, we'll have Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post columnist David Ignatius. He is certainly one of the most informed and insightful observers of U.S. national security policy, politics, and operations. And he will discuss technology, intelligence, and a world in turmoil. Sandra Joyce, Vice President of Google Cloud's Threat Intelligence Group, will be our dinner speaker the evening of November 13th. Sandra will give us her perspective on the future of cybersecurity. And for our keynote on November 14th, we will have Chris Brose, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Anduril Industries, a groundbreaking non-traditional defense contractor. Chris will be joined by Mackenzie Eaglin of the American Enterprise Institute, and they will discuss arms, AI, and the future of defense.
You mentioned these panels, and I think it might be important to talk about what are their focus in terms of the emerging technologies, if you don't mind.
Sure. Let me trot through some of my favorite topics that we'll be covering. One is industrial policy, economic sanctions, export controls, and tariffs, and their use as strategic weapons by the U.S. and China. And that panel will have a focus on critical minerals. 2, we'll look at the growing role of private capital and startup companies in driving innovation in the NatSec space and the legal, regulatory, and policy frameworks enabling or impeding that. Three is the recent prevalence and extraordinary capability of unmanned aerial vehicles and unmanned underwater vehicles and the international, constitutional, and other legal issues they raise. Four, of course, is artificial intelligence. We will have a panel devoted specifically to the national security law challenges the AI arms race poses. And five, with the substantial standoff combat operations enabled by new technologies, we will be examining pressing issues concerning the division of congressional and presidential war-making authorities under the U.S. Constitution and compliance with the law of armed conflict under international law.
We're going to be talking in a minute about recent events, including, you know, the targeting of what are GOFASTs, I guess, drug vessels. We talk about unmanned aerials. We've also heard about targeting of unmanned submersibles as well lately in the news, all of which have been at least publicly attributed to Venezuela. Let's talk about the National Security Law in Private Practice panel. Then I would like to jump back and discuss any CLE credit that they might get from other panels. But let's start with the National Security Law in Private Practice. We have a lot of young lawyers who listen to our podcasts. Why don't you talk a little bit about opportunities they might find in what looks like a shrinking market to a lot of people right now?
You know, not too many years ago, law schools did not teach national security law, and law firms did not have national security law practices. That certainly changed. And at the conference, as you mentioned, we're going to have a panel on the private practice of national security law with prominent law firm partners discussing practice areas ranging from cybersecurity to export control compliance and CFIUS review to national security related investigations and enforcement. They'll also talk about the paths that brought them into national security law earlier in their careers.
There are opportunities here for CLE credit. And for a lot of people who are going to take time out of their workday, they're hoping that at least part of any conference will allow them to acquire that much needed credit. I understand we're going to offer full 2 hours of ethics credit, but this one is pretty interesting because I understand Judge Jamie Baker and Rear Admiral Jim McPherson and Judge John Sparks are going to be talking a little bit about ethics. What do we expect from that?
So this conference will provide 10 hours of CLE credit and 2 hours of ethics credit. And I'd like to dwell for a moment on the ethics credit. I think this is going to be a really interesting panel. These three distinguished practitioners of national security law will be exploring answers to the questions sometimes posed by decision makers. Why should we follow the law at times of national security emergency or risk? They will consider applicable sources of legal ethics, and they'll do so in the context of real-world challenges, challenges drawing from their own personal experiences. This is going to be a great panel.
Can you walk us through what people need to know if they want to sign up?
So the conference is November 13th and 14th. That's a Thursday and a Friday. To register, folks should go to www.americanbar.org/natsecurity. November 1st is the deadline for the early bird discount, and online registration ends November 10th. The conference will be held at the Omni Shoreham Hotel, 2500 Calvert Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. That's just off of Connecticut and a block from the Woodley Park Zoo Adams Morgan stop on the Red Line. And there'll be a complimentary opening reception for registered participants on November 12th at WilmerHale.
All right. Sounds great. I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this. And I know you worked very hard to put this together. And I know you deal with the private sector a lot in emerging technologies. So you're probably the right man for this. For those of you out there who are young, you feel like, hey, I don't get an opportunity to talk to some of these experienced lawyers who may have these really great jobs. You can certainly go on social media, but it isn't really socializing. It would be my advice to you to do it the old-fashioned way, show up. Take time if you can and join us. It's really nice. The people involved in national security are just wonderful. I don't know if you'll find people that great in other practice areas, but please show up and we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Lisa, for what you do, and it's always a pleasure.
All right, now we're going to switch over to a news roundup because, gosh, has there been a lot of national security news? First and foremost, 20 hostages held by Hamas have been released from custody after being held by the designated foreign terrorist group since October 7th of 2023. There is an apparent ceasefire in the region, something we welcome and we all hope it sticks. So that is good news. But you probably remember we've done podcasts with people who have been negotiators in this space before, counsel at the State Department, including Brian Egan. There are people who do run private hostage negotiation groups who are experienced hostage negotiators. We had Kieran Ramsey on the podcast to talk about the work that he does in this space. Everybody involved in this deserves some credit. This is a major event. At the same time, I think I'm going to ask everybody listening if you like bubbles. And I think at a Taylor Swift concert or a kids' party, that is great. But in the markets, less so. Now, calculations now suggest that 10 major AI companies who are all operating at a loss, they now have a collective value of $10 trillion. And they still have not turned a profit and have not delivered the AI wonders of our imagination. Now, these include OpenAI, which we discussed last week with New York Times bestselling author and one of the five most influential women in the world right now, Karen Howe, author of Empire AI. But it also includes Anthropic, xAI, and all the bigs. So it's worth noting that just this year, and the year isn't over yet, these companies received $161 billion in venture capital. So if our national security is our economy, this is worrying, and we sincerely hope that there's some big results from AI. Now, to be clear, OpenAI and Broadcom, one of the big chip makers, have developed a partnership to make a 10 gigawatt custom AI chip production and computing systems over the next 4 years. And they're plowing forward and building new data centers, of course, but there are still no plans announced by any of these companies to compute more efficiently. It still remains the case that one Chinese company claims that they have done this. And I say this at a time where we have a lot of data centers all over the place, which wouldn't be such a concern. But today, Amazon Web Services went down, and that included some of their data centers. Now, you might remember when we were talking about AI and energy, which is going to be one of the big issues, one reason why nuclear isn't always considered the greatest option for fueling these centers is because nuclear has to be taken down periodically. So this went down involuntarily. In other news, Russia, Russia, Russia. It looks like Russia is using cryptocurrency to pay saboteurs to wage hybrid attacks against EU countries, where Moscow is blamed for hacking water supply systems in Poland, sending drones into that country, etc. And apparently, the GRU's use of cryptocurrency has been documented now, folks, for a decade. You might remember it was 2016 when we first began hearing about their purchase of servers using crypto. All right, now the Pentagon is stockpiling critical minerals, according to reports, to counter Chinese dominance. And we learned that 100% tariffs that the president has said he would place on all Chinese goods and services were triggered by China's rare earth restrictions. Now, I'm happy to report that we did four podcasts on this, and we predicted this would be the critical point in all negotiations because some of those minerals are literally only found in China. But we're going to see how this plays out with trade negotiations in China. And I think what it's going to smell like is you can't have NVIDIA chips if we can't have your minerals. And that appears to be where we are. Now, the president is now accusing China of, quote, holding the world captive over their dominance in critical minerals. So I'm happy to say that we predicted this one and we were talking about it long before it became, you know, super big news. Now, also in national security news, Russian spy ships, including one called the Yantar, are reportedly stalking Europe's subsea cables used for internet communications and basic internet access, energy, military communications, and financial transactions. And of course, the focus of these ships seems to have been strategically important. It looks as if they're focusing on NATO allies like Norway and the UK. Meanwhile, France detained a Shadow Fleet tanker crew member suspected in a drone attack on Denmark's territorial borders. No telling whether they're related, But yesterday, during daylight hours and while the doors to the Louvre were open, thieves stole the French crown jewels in what many characterize as a Russian mafia-styled burglary, complete with the villains escaping through Paris's narrow streets on motorbikes. I'm sure there will be a movie, and I will see it. Also, last week, John Bolton, former national security advisor to the president, former a lot of things, was indicted on 18 counts, charging him with 8 counts of transmission of national defense information and 10 counts of unlawful retention of national defense information. This case will be one many people will watch. Separately, as the president has declared a lot of gangs as foreign terrorist organizations, and this week, the Department of Defense has targeted yet another what is called a go-fast boat off the coast of Venezuela, prompting apparently some sort of démarche from Colombia, which is like a diplomatic protest, because they asserted it was their citizens who were aboard the vessel. And we're going to take some time in the cast over the next few weeks to discuss the rules of engagement and targeting with lawyers who advised on such topics in their careers and understand this stuff far better than I do. And so that's just a little sneak peek at the news this week. There is tons of it. It never ends. If you wonder what the national security issues are, I can almost guarantee you, you can hear about those issues if you come to the conference, if you listen to the podcast, and it'll give you a little bit of knowledge that when you encounter these things in your practice, you might have a slight foundation or a slight edge, sort of understand how to approach them, what sort of analysis you might undertake, and, you know, certainly what kind of law will apply. So anyway, I hope you show up at the conference. It would be a mistake not to. You'd have a good time. It's definitely a fun event, and other people tell me that they feel amped. Those are the words they've used. Amped after they come to the conference. They're very energized by the conversation, and you will be too. So if you're there, I will look forward to saying hello. And thank you for listening to NSLT. We very much appreciate it. We ask you to subscribe to us on your listening app of choice. As you know, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, or Spotify if you prefer one or the other. Like and rate us. This helps us amplify our content and get it out there in a time of, you know, acrimonious political discourse. We try to focus on real national security issues, and we avoid all of that. One other thought for you. Remember, you only have until November 1st to get that early bird rate for the conference, so maybe mark that on your calendar so you don't miss the opportunity. Remember, our unity is a key feature of our national security. Even when we can't agree, we can agree to listen to each other. We remain fortunate to live in a country with greater diversity of thought than any other, and that's a good thing, even though right now it may seem pitched. The writer and producer and host of NSLT is me, Elisa Poteet. I'm always here in my individual capacity. Our editor and my co-producer is Francis Burkham. My other co-producer is Holly McMahon, who has a stamina unprecedented. No one can do what she does, and I mean it. And we're forever grateful to the brilliant minds of the members of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security who pursue the good in the interest of the national security without regard for politics or party, and they enjoy educating new lawyers, and you may be one at the conference. I also want to thank Alana Coopersmith, who provides us with research and social media support, as well as Antasia Hawkins Blakeney. And she's absolutely lovely, and she's our program manager. So there you go. We look forward to seeing you next week when we're going to return to our series on AI. And we're taking on a topic in multiple series of AI scaling. Do we really want to live in a planet that is entirely covered with data centers? We're not so sure. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
The views expressed on National Security Law Today have not been approved by the House of Delegates or the Board of Governors of the American Bar Association, and this recording should not be construed as representing ABA policy.